of A.B. Corlin and Associates.
You know, Paul, you and I have done some very, very interesting interviews over the last day and a half or so, but I've got to tell you, I feel truly honored right now because one of my heroes, how can a 60-year-old guy have a hero, Congressman? But one of my heroes, Congressman Ron Paul, who Jay Taylor, a frequent guest on our show, was kind enough to introduce us to 5 or 6 years ago, is here right now. We're chatting with him. Congressman, it's great to have you. Thanks so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It's real nice to be here.
Let's talk a little bit to begin with. Let's talk a little bit about your opinion about the future strength of the U.S. economy and how gold, other precious metals investments plays into that.
Well, I am pessimistic about the economy.
I think that's four people at this table.
I think we've been living on borrowed money and borrowed time, and I think there's still a lot of wealth, and a lot of people feel good about the economy, but I think they're deceiving themselves. I mean, the big discussion on the financial statement is it going to be a soft landing or a hard landing? And the optimists are saying, oh, no, it's already, the landing has occurred, and we're on our way back up.
Yeah.
No, I think there's so much malinvestment, misdirected investment, so much built-in monetary inflation that is going to translate into price inflation, a weak economy. I think it's somewhat like the 70s, but different. I think conditions are much worse than the 70s, so I expect the economy to weaken, but price inflation to come back, which means stagflation. And, of course, the extreme of stagflation is inflationary depression.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not we'll reach that stage is yet to be determined, but I think we're in for some very, very serious times, which means that under those conditions, paper assets are always the worst kind of investment, and hard assets are the best investments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a long time when we've seen a full cycle of good times for hard assets, but I believe the last 5 years has been we've seen the beginning of that, and I think that's going to continue. My goal has been to try to set an example where I can show that you can stick to those principles and get reelected, and so far so good. We've been able to do that. And it is true, it isn't always easy. For instance, prior to the district I have now, it was 90% agriculture. I had 21 counties and it was essentially all farmers. But I never voted for farm subsidies.
And you still got reelected?
And got reelected.
How do you explain that?
By being upfront with them, and the truth is that they haven't benefited that much by subsidies. I said, well, you know, if the subsidies have helped you, and we've had them for 70 years, why aren't you all rich? And the family farmer's still struggling. I said, all the funds are going to the corporate farmers.
Exactly.
And then I play on their true beliefs. You know, property rights, inheritance taxes, federal regulators coming on their property, and they said, oh, that's right, Second Amendment. You know, taxes farmers. So they say, you know, they all of a sudden found out that they agreed with me on a lot of issues, but it's the organizations, whether it's the AMA and medicine that never really was a supporter of mine,
right,
or whether it's the farm unions. They don't support the small farmers. They become politicized. They become part of the system. And that's what a lot of politicians don't realize. They see, aha, the farmers organization doesn't support this bill, so I have to vote for it, or they'll be after me. And I think they sometimes are just lazy. They don't want to go home and explain it, you know, and tell the people why they've done such a thing, certain things.
I would like to ask the congressman whether he thinks there's going to be any policy shift on the monetary front. Congressman Paul is on the House Finance Committee, I guess it is, with the new Fed chairman. I'd just like to get his remarks if he thinks it's going to make any difference, or if there will be, if Mr. Bernanke may be more inflationary than Mr. Greenspan, even, who was a great inflationist.
Yeah, there probably won't be any significant change. The important thing to remember about monetary policy, it's more secretive than the CIA. I can find out more information from the CIA, which is very secretive, than I could from the Open Market Committee. I can't attend that or find out, and they don't allow us to know what's going.
That's an interesting comment on our system.
Yeah, because there's a lot more money. There's a lot of money wasted in the CIA, and it gets us into a lot of trouble. But the big money, all the money in the country is manipulated by the Federal Reserve. But on monetary policy, now the chairman, the new chairman, Barney Frank, told me that he says, I'm looking forward to it because you and I can work together in checking up on the Federal Reserve, which he's more than a Republican would do. So I'm encouraged by that. But Barney Frank is a liberal, and he wants the Fed to have lower interest rates, you know, as a liberal would, and not understanding the whole issue. But where I think we'll make inroads is on more transparency. I think that we might be able to at least publicly pressure the Fed and maybe the working group on financial markets, find out what they're doing, and maybe at least put pressure on them to tell us how central bank coordination is used. I think that's a big secret that nobody even talks about, but I think that's very big, this central bank coordination. And, of course, the financial markets, the working group on financial markets is big. And here we have Bernanke, who talks about transparency. So the first thing he does is takes away transparency. He doesn't even allow us to know what the money supply is doing.
You know, a question that I have that we've discussed with Jay numerous times on the program is we talk about the fallacy of a monetary system that has no basis. You know, a monetary system that basically is akin to a house of cards.
And the unconstitutionality.
Your friend, you were nice enough to introduce this to Judge Napolitano, and we had a conversation with him about that. And I'm amazed that our monetary system is working. And I guess the question I would have for you, well, and I use the term working loosely, okay? But let's assume that the monetary system is working right now. I don't believe it can go on ad infinitum, so to speak. I don't think you can have an economy that has a currency that isn't based on something. And our currency is based on nothing.
Well, it's based on an illusion and
right.
a false trust. And it can't continue because the trust will eventually be lost. But Mises taught in Human Action that all money originates in the marketplace, so it has to have real value. And the dollar did originate. It originated as a silver dollar and
sure.
had real value, and there was gold and silver. And throughout the 20th century, that was undermined until it was finally totally destroyed in 1971.
Right.
So we've had this total fiat dollar since 1971. You say, well, why didn't it end? Why did it last for 35 more years? Well, it was because of the origination. There are still members, believe this or not, there are still members on the banking committee that believe that the dollar is backed by gold.
You've got to be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. They still do, and that's they're very disinterested, but they'll come and say, isn't the dollar backed by gold? Well, no, not quite.
You know that, Jay? I was totally unaware of that.
Well, I know that I found it fascinating that my son in his high school course somewhere along the line was taught that by his teacher, in fact. So
That the dollar is backed by gold.
So I think it's a common perception that probably allows confidence in the dollar to be retained. You know,
That's right. And it's a false confidence.
Here's an interesting question, okay? Basically, economies, at least as I understand it, economies grow because of productivity, okay? Productivity within the economy. Okay, our economy, I maintain, because of statistics that Jay brought up to Paul and I a number of years ago, our economy isn't growing because of increased productivity. Our economy is growing because of an increasing amount of debt on both the personal level and the governmental level. And basically, people are out buying suits and clothes and cars with money they get from, at the risk of being simplistic, refinancing their homes. That can't go on forever. What's going to happen in the next 5 years?
Well, when the government gets involved and they run up this debt, and then it's put out in the economy, the debt eventually gets so high that it's not repayable, and our debt is not repayable.
Of course not.
There's going to be a default, but they won't quit writing checks. They're going to continue to create the credit, and they still remember very well, and you remember the conversation between Bernanke and Friedman, that it was the Fed's fault because they didn't print enough money in the Depression, rather than understanding that it was the Fed printing too much in the 20s. But what happens is they default by the real debt going down in terms of the value of the dollar. So to me, the most important event, and maybe last week was an indicator of the importance of this event giving us a big sign, that is the dollar is under attack, and it's been under attack, not for a year or two or three, but since World War II. I mean, ever since Bretton Woods, the dollar's doing this. And I just suspect that one day that's going to be a big deal.